We are departing from our series in Genesis for this week only. And it is interesting, last week, the last time I preached, before last week, I preached a sermon called Be Reminded. We were talking about Genesis 5 and how God has given us a reminder that all of us could die and that we need to be ready for that at any moment. And that the only way to be ready for that is faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And this week when I was preparing the sermon, I thought, well, it works. So I said, be honest. And I thought, am I starting a B series? Like be this, be that? And I thought, no, I'm not doing that. We do things expositionally here for the most part. But this week I really felt the need to preach a sermon entitled, Be Honest. There is a, in the world in general, I believe, but especially among men with the kind of backgrounds that we have, there is a real issue of integrity. There is a real issue of honesty. That we say one thing, but we do something else entirely. We sign our name on dotted lines and commit to live or do things a certain way, but we don't do them. And we can find reasons to lay blame as to why we don't do them. But the bottom line is, we commit to do something, we should do it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, it says, whoever desires to love life, to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Have you ever had someone lie to you? Deceive you? Say one thing to you but do something else? The reality is, I'm sure we've had lots of people lie to us and deceive us throughout the course of our lives. And I'm equally sure that there isn't a man in this room that hasn't done their fair share of lying and deceiving at some point in their lives. How did it make you feel when you were on the receiving end of that? When someone was lying to and deceiving you? When someone said, I promise to do X, and they never did X. Before I became a Christian, I'm going to lay it on the line. I was a liar, a deceiver, a user, and an abuser of everyone and everything. I didn't care at all about any person. The only thing I cared about was what they had to offer me, what I could get out of them. In some cases, that would be money. In other cases, it would be other things. But the bottom line is, I didn't care. I was a user and abuser. I never thought about it. I would lie. I would take credit cards that I had no intention or ability to pay. I would write checks that I didn't have money in the bank for. I didn't have a moment's pang in my conscience about it. That's how I lived before I became a Christian. And it wasn't like I was just consciously evil either. It wasn't like I woke up one morning and said, who can I go mess over today? It was just who I was. The Bible talks about walking along in darkness, powered by the course of the prince of the power of the air. You're just driven because sin is all you know. And some people are worse, and some people may be better, because for whatever reason, some people, their sin is manifest greatly, and in other people, it's not as evident. In my case, it was all over my life. Now, I don't think many people that knew me would just say, Chandler's an evil guy. But they didn't know what was going on in my heart and my mind. They didn't know that everything I did had an agenda for evil against someone else. And hey, I didn't look at it that way either. I was just trying to survive. I'd grown up in boys' homes, didn't have the mom or dad, didn't have anybody to provide for me, so it was survival of the fittest, and it was on. And everybody existed for what they could give me. That's the way I live my life. Even when it appeared I was being honest or doing something good, behind it, 99% of the time, was an agenda. I would frequently say one thing and do something else entirely. I begged and borrowed for money, no intention of repaying it, never thought twice about it. Verse 10 says, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. I want you to understand that the Bible equates being deceptive and dishonest with being evil. Would you like someone to say that about you? That you're evil? I was. 100% through and through. Whether somebody would say it or not, that was me. The Bible says to be deceptive and dishonest is evil. To say one thing and do something else is evil. If we want to have good life, good days, we need to be honest. We need to be transparent. We need to be open and honest people, full of integrity. Then it says something shocking. In verse 12, it basically says, the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. Those who are honest and not deceptive. So the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. And what are the righteous? Well, based on the text, those who are honest and not deceptive. But his face is against, in other words, he doesn't hear the prayers of those who do evil and deceive others. In Ephesians 4:28, Paul admonishes us. He says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. A few years ago, we helped a man named Daniel Linon. Nobody in this room, I don't believe, knows him except for my son. I don't know if Brandon ever, did you meet him? He came to one of our dinners one year. So we met this guy. His name was Daniel Linon. He'd been in and out of prison over the course of 25 years. He had spent more time in prison than he'd been alive. Before his incarceration, Daniel had never held a job. He never took financial responsibility for himself. He lived off of his friends and family and was always partying. He was about a good time. He was never about work or anything like it. But the last time Daniel went to prison, God saved that man. And he got in touch with us and we began to mentor him, but not much. We didn't have long with him. The biggest thing I did was when he got out of prison, I connected him with the local church. He called me up one Friday night and he said, Chandler, you said when we get out of prison to call you, I need a church. I rolled over and looked at my wife. I said, tomorrow I'm going to Austin. Do you want to go? She says, what? I said, yeah, I'm going to Austin. Why? I'm taking this guy to church. So on the way to Austin, I'm speed dialing churches. Honey, look up this church. Honey, look up this church. Honey, look up this church. And I'm calling all the pastors. And I get to an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Pflugerville. And Pastor Alan Story was there. And he said, Chandler, come on. We'd love to have you. So I show up with Daniel in tow. That was about the best thing we did for him. That church loved him well. And the change in his life was evident from the moment he was released from prison. The way that it showed up most significantly was the first thing he did was get a job and work nonstop morning to night. He had amazing credibility with his family because of the change they saw in him. They saw integrity, they saw honesty, they saw character, good character. it was incredible the change that they saw in this man. His supervisor saw it and promoted him to the supervisor of the warehouse. For the first time in more than 20 years, he was actually within 1 month of completing his parole successfully. He was engaged to be married 2 months later. One day in that warehouse, he was working harder than he'd ever worked any time in his life. He picked up a load too heavy. The forklift flipped. He tried to get out and it crushed him and killed him. But Daniel went to his grave with every person that had ever known him before his conversion, saying that was a changed man. Christ had totally changed his life, and everybody knew it. It showed up in the most significant ways. Daniel still struggled with sin. Daniel still fought sin in his life. He wasn't perfect, but change was present. It was noticeable. If someone asked me, Chandler, how would someone know that you're a Christian, that real change occurred in your life? I would have to answer that it's by God's grace that one, I'm honest, and two, I place others' needs above my own for the first time in my life. Before my incarceration, I didn't care about anybody. I didn't try to help anybody. It was all about me. Now, many years later, my life is about everybody else. It's not about me. Why would I say that? I would rather be used than use others the way that once marked my life. People ask me all the time, why do you do this for this person? They're just using you. And I say, because I used people and because God loved me. So I would rather be used than use others. I'm okay with that. I did my share of using people. I know what it is. Those who know me will tell you I make decisions all the time that are clearly not in my own best interest, or even the interest of the ministry for that matter. I make decisions all the time that would defy logic in many cases, that are not in my best interest, that may not be in the best interest of the ministry, but I make them all the time because I believe at that moment they're in the best interest of that person that I'm helping. That's what I try to do every way. Now, my wife will tell you I'm honest to a fault. I was hoping she'd be here this morning. She's not feeling well. You guys say a prayer for her. I was hoping she'd be here, but she will tell you I'm honest to a fault. I tell everybody pretty much everything there is to know about me, and sometimes within the first 10 minutes. I try to tell everybody everything. That way there are no surprises, no secrets. If I haven't shared with you that way, it's probably because we just don't know each other well. We haven't had a lot of time together. Because that's the way I am with everybody, and there are people in this room who will tell you, yeah, he's told me some things. Wow. Why do I say this? I can promise you it's not because of self-exaltation. I told you who I was. I was a predator. I was evil. God changed me. I would say with Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, that this is a faithful saying, trustworthy and deserving of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the worst, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Whatever good that is in me with regard to honesty or integrity, it is only there because of God's word, the saving power of Jesus Christ, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit at work in me. It's the only reason it's there. I say this, though, because I believe, and I want you men to especially know, I believe that honesty and integrity are perhaps the most important virtues that men can possess. Let me say that again. I believe honesty and integrity are perhaps the most important virtues that men can possess. Virtues. The most important thing you can possess is a relationship with Jesus Christ. But in your character and in your walk with Christ, the most important virtues that you can possess and pray for and pursue with everything that is within you, I believe at the top of the list should be integrity and honesty. You should want men to know he is a man of his word. The Bible says that a good name is to be desired above all other treasure. A good name, that people know you are a man of your word. I would suggest to you, God believes it to be so also. A quick search reveals that there are more than 3,700 Bible verses that use the words honest, honesty, and integrity. More than 144 times, the Lord calls lying an abomination to him. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, the author lists six things that the Lord hates. Lying is mentioned twice. Think about that. Six things the Lord hates, and twice he says lying. It's only counted once in the six things, but he mentions it twice. It's the only sin that's mentioned twice. In our opening passage, he identified deception and dishonesty with being evil and said that such is the reason he turns his face against those who lie and deceive others. When you give your word, I will do X, whatever X may be, kind of like signing an agreement with a ministry, or an apartment lease, a credit card, a personal loan. Keep your end of the deal. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is from the evil one. Being honest, really being honest, may seem like one of those sins that's hard for you to put off. It could be that your whole life has conditioned you to use and to abuse and to play others because you didn't have anybody who ever supported, loved, or was honest with you. So it could be that your whole life has conditioned you to lie and to deceive, to say the right words to get the things you want, to do the right things to get the things you want. But you know you're not honoring the spirit of the agreement. You're not doing the things you're supposed to do. Last week, Jarrett had to go to jail. He got arrested. On the surface, the problem that Jared had was looking at things and making connections and communication with people that he didn't need to be making. And some of you saw the update. By God's grace, and only God's grace, they're not going to press charges against Jared, from what we can tell. He's going to have a simple violation. He could even come back to our program. But I'm going to tell you that Jared had a much bigger problem than that. And it's the same problem that I know several men have that are in this program. It's called honesty and integrity. It's called taking your words seriously. Because many times over the course of weeks and months, people would plead with Jarrett, don't do this, don't do this. I'm not going to, I'm not going to, I'm not going to. And he continued to do it without a second's thought. Guys, the Bible says, if you want to have a good life and see many good days, you can do that by being honest. Don't lie. Don't be deceptive. Don't use people just for what you can get out of them. If you have no intention of honoring your agreement with somebody, don't enter into it for the right reasons. For the reasons. We had a guy when we first started this prison ministry, we had an apartment in our house. And we used to have people that would come stay with us until we found out we weren't allowed to do that. And when the guy finished building it, this one guy had finished building it single-handedly. And we said, you should live there. And he said, Chandler, I would never do that to you. He was homeless. He had nowhere to live. He was sleeping on someone's couch. But he was a master craftsman. And I said, why would you say that? And he said, because I know I have no intention of honoring your rules. I'm not going to do anything that you would ask me to do. I'm a grown man. I'm going to live life the way I want to. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think that was utter stupidity. Because he had a chance at a whole new life and support system and everything. But I do think this, even though I don't know that I would characterize him as a believer, he was honest. He had a sense of integrity about him. He would not say something knowing he wasn't going to do it. He would not say something knowing he wasn't going to do it. To me, I had more respect for that man than I've had for a lot of guys who have come through our program who have no intention of honoring what they committed to. They just said it to get what they wanted and then they left. But I had a lot of respect for him, and I still do to this day, because he never lied to me. We had an atheist come through our program who was an avowed, outspoken atheist. He said, Chandler, I'm going to do everything you asked me to do. And he did. And to this day, he still remains a monthly giver to this ministry. Can you imagine that? An atheist who's no longer in our program gives to this ministry every single month because he said he appreciated what we did for him and he had committed to do it and he still does it. And he's 500 miles away. It blows my mind. Christians should be known for better than that. If you are a man of God, if you are a professing Christian, your life should be marked with honesty and integrity. We have far too many Christians. I remember when I was young and I was a professing Christian, and I wasn't, as I said, I had a lady who looked me in the eye. She said something I'd never forgotten. She said, do the world a favor and don't call yourself a Christian. Wow. She was like a mom to me. And she spoke truth to me. She said, if you're going to live like that, if you're going to use people, don't call yourself a Christian. The world has enough excuses to hate Christians. The world has enough excuses to call us hypocrites. Guys, you need to be thinking and praying about your word, honesty, integrity, not just saying things to get what you want, not just doing things to get what you want, but actually making commitments and following them through with the spirit of honesty and integrity that you know the commitment is intended. Your whole life may have conditioned to lie and abuse to others, but here's what you need to do if you want to change this pattern in your life. Rule number one, our help comes from the Lord. We can't do it. You'll never be able to do it on your own, I promise you. If your whole life has conditioned you to lie and use and abuse, you are not going to change that on your own. It's going to take a mighty work of God's grace in your heart. So remember, our help comes from the Lord. Second, if we sin, know this. We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has said, if you confess your sins, he'll forgive you. There isn't any sin that's greater or lesser than another sin. If you confess your sins, God will forgive you. He has promised to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Third, God has promised in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, that there isn't any temptation overtaking you that isn't common to man, but God is faithful, who with the temptation will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape. So if you're tempted to use and abuse and lie and be deceitful and dishonest, Jesus said, Paul said through in the Word of God, there isn't any sin that you can't, by God's grace, overcome. And if you say you can't be honest, you can't stop using people because it's all you've known, you're calling God a liar. Fourth, start now. Start right now. If you know that you are guilty of lying and deceiving people, if you know that you are guilty of not honoring your word, not being a man of integrity, not doing the things that you said or promised you would do, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 through 25 says, before you even think about worshiping God, go get reconciled to your brother. Go to him, confess your sin to him. Ask him to forgive you. Make it right. Then come and worship God. Don't lie. Don't deceive. Don't continue practicing deception. Be reconciled. Tell them how you've lied, have been, or are being deceptive. Then leave it in the hands of God. God will forgive you. That person may have a problem, but God will forgive you. Be honest. Be men of integrity. Do you know what the difference is between honesty and integrity? Consistency. A man who has integrity is a man who's honest when no one else is watching. If I say I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it whether you're watching me or not. I'm going to do it whether you know I'm doing it or not. I'm going to honor my word to you. That's the difference. Consistency. Integrity means you're consistent at being honest. You're consistent at abiding by the morals that you have. So if you say I'm an honest man, then integrity means that I'm consistently honest. If you say I'm a loving person, then integrity means I'm consistently loving in all situations. Integrity is being consistent in the things that we believe or the things that we say or do. When you fail, you're starting a new life, guys. It's going to be hard to do this. If you've been conditioned your whole life to be dishonest and users and abusers, it's going to be hard to stop being that. When you fail, confess your sin to God, ask him to forgive you, and keep going. But I'm pleading with you. Be men of integrity. Start now. Ask God, by his grace, to give you the power of his word and his Holy Spirit. And guys, this just isn't about what you tell me or what you tell a credit card company. This is about your relationship with God. Because when you have a relationship with God, whether you realize it or not, you've agreed to do certain things, to live a certain way. You've said, I'm going to strive with everything that's within me to be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Now, you're going to fail miserably, which is why we need a Savior. But you've said you're going to work at it. You're going to put to death the deeds of the body. You're going to add to your faith virtue and patience and all those things. You're going to work at doing these things. You're going to put some sweat equity in the game. These are the commitments you've made to God. And if you're going to be honest and have integrity, it's not just about with me or with your fellow man, it's with God. One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture is when Joseph is about to be seduced by this woman, and he looks at her and he says, "Listen, all this my master has entrusted to me. The one thing that he's kept back from me is you. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Notice what he said. He didn't say sin against his master. He didn't say sin against her, although both of those would have been true. He said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Sin against God. When you sin, your ultimate sin is against God. So confess your sins. Ask God to give you grace to be honest, to be men of integrity, that people know, "I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do." Amen?